I speak to you in the name of one God who creates us and redeems us and sustains us. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but as a child, I loved the World Book Encyclopedia. I would beg my parents to get me one. My best friend had one at her house. She had the whole set. And so when I would go over to play, I would just sit and pull out volumes and flip through them and look at them. Side note, when my sermon group read this, we found out that there were several of us who all did the same thing, and we all liked World Book better than Britannica. Apparently it's a thing. But I recalled this memory, my deep love of World Book and the encyclopedia, and how important I thought it was that we have one so we could have information at our fingertips when I needed to write reports and papers and all of that. But this came back to me because I got into a discussion with a colleague this week about the use of AI and what is the appropriate use of AI in our work. And of course, there is discussion throughout the church writ large about what is appropriate use. And a week or so ago, an article dropped in one of our, I'll call it, trade magazines, discussing the issue and a pledge to never, ever use AI. I'm sorry, I'm being facetious about a colleague, not appropriate. A pledge to never use AI when it came to sermons or other writings for the church. You can use it for grammatical correcting, but that was about it. And my colleague and I noted that as Gen Xers that we are, we grew up alongside the computer. We remember being in a classroom and teachers telling us, oh, you can't use a calculator for that. Or when spell check first came out, did you have friends who'd be like, I don't need spell check. I learned how to spell in school. I'd like to know how many of them still have spell check turned off. Or there was one back in the day of clergy who would say, I would never use Google for my sermons. I will only use the printed, valid commentaries on my shelf. And there is always division. It brings out that there is always division between those who want and are very eager to engage all new technology, come what may, and those who are just fine as it is with the old way. Those who rush to embrace, and those who fear the change. And I believe this tension of significant change, because AI is significant change. The tension of significant change that will shape cultures for centuries to come is also what the writer of the Gospel of Matthew was pointing to in Jesus' words to his disciples. When the Gospel of Matthew was written, it was at the end of the first century, and families were turning against each other as Christianity was breaking away from Judaism, and people were calling each other out for not following God the right way. An argument that apparently continues to this day. The writer of Matthew uses his Jesus words to show that following Jesus is not always easy. And following Jesus almost always does come with a cost. And that's what Jesus was teaching his followers in his own time. Jesus knows that standing up to Roman imperialism is not, at that moment, and will continue to not be easy. Jesus knows that standing up for what is just will cost him his life. But what choice does Jesus have? be complicit in a corrupt government who cares not for all of its people and cares most about its own gain? To not follow God's commandments? To not stand for mercy and justice and care for those who have been shunned by society for whatever reason? To not offer healing to all? Jesus stands for all of those and so much more. And Jesus does not let the fear of calling out what is right and what is loving and what is just in a world that is dominated by an outside oppressor. He does not let that fear stop him from not only proclaiming but living the message of God's belovedness. Fear in the face of change is real. But the question for us is, does fear lead to silence and withdrawal, or does fear lead to courage? The tension of another life changing, what is and what is becoming, is present in our reading from the prophet Jeremiah as well. At this moment where Jeremiah is, the Israelites have this moment where the nostalgia of the past is viewed through rose-colored glasses, because wasn't it better when we could all do math without a calculator? And at the same moment, the Israelites are very aware of the lurking presence of the Babylonian Empire that has just conquered Judah, the territory directly above them. In the midst of this tension of wasn't it great when and what is coming, the prophet Jeremiah speaks to the community. He speaks to the fact that nostalgia can actually ignite fear, that whole it was better when, or if only we still had, or my favorite, I have said it, kids these days don't know. But the prophet reminds the Israelites, in the face of change, in the face of perhaps an impending invasion, following God, keeping the tenets of their faith, is what is primarily important in their lives, and doing so will take courage. Great courage. When we name the fear, when we name our fear in the face of change, then we know where it is we need to engage our faith. It is there that we need to listen for what follows as we profess to believe in a God who is loving and kind and just. When we name the fear, we can then find the courage to face the changes, good or bad, in a moral and ethical fashion. Notice that such courage in the face of fear for both the prophet Jeremiah and for Jesus is not isolated courage. Rather, in both circumstances, courage is found in and stoked by and supported by being in community. One does not face any evil alone, no matter what form it may take. Rather, courage is fortified by being God's community together. We take courage from one another as we find a way forward together where no one is left behind or left out. A way forward through our fear, in which God's will for humanity is brought into being as a result of our choices. Which brings us back to the challenges in a changing world where AI is not going back into a box, nor is the internet or social media, I say on the day that we have our social media photographer here. Changes in technology will continue at a rapid pace. Just like many other changes throughout the history of humanity, from fire and the wheel to the Industrial Revolution to the computer, whatever the change, our job is Christians. By our baptism, we are called to engage our faith, to engage our community as we face our fears and find ways forward together. My colleague and I, we landed in a place of discussing what is appropriate use and what are appropriate guardrails when it comes to AI. By the way, AI did not write my sermon today. You know, and as he and I talked, I realized students still learn basic math, but a calculator is no longer shunned. Some clergy solely use Google for sermon research. I have a colleague who I always, every now and then, he'll post what his links were. He started here and then what all the different pages were that he went to. So some solely use Google, and I'll be honest, my favorite commentary is a podcast with weekly written commentaries on the readings, all online. The truth is that our lives will continue to change. And society will continue to shift as these changes come into being, and you and I and us as a Christian community get to decide how we react. We can act in fear and bemoan the fact that, as I said earlier, kids these days, they just don't get it. They just don't know how easy they have it. And I admit, I have my own on those. I would still like to see cursive and civics taught in school. I am not excluded from having my own thoughts in my nostalgia. But regardless what those are for each of us, we, in moments like this, are called to turn to our faith, where we are called to listen for where God is calling us to be courageous and to not live in fear. For the path forward, the right path forward, is always the one that follows Jesus' tenets of mercy, love, and justice together, as we are one community. Amen.